Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Well, if you wouldn't mind, take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Gospel record of John. The Gospel record of John, chapter 17. And we've been walking through this high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we've been exploring this, we've been learning more about who Jesus is and learning more about his prayer request and what he's praying for. What is he concerned about, seeing as he's praying for us? As we find our way to the Gospel record of John, chapter number 17, if you wouldn't mind, we'd like to get a good running start of this passage and read the whole thing in its entirety up to the verses that we'll be covering today. Notice with me, if you don't mind, as we continue to go through in the Gospel record of John 17, and notice with me verse 1. The Word spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou givest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou givest me or them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and thou hast received them, and have known surely that I have come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these that are in the world, and I came to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou givest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shalt keepest them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and them thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them even as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou have given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, and thou hast given me, for thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world that has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have I known that has sent me. I have declared unto them my name, and will declare that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, when you mark a phrase, it's kind of mentioned a couple times, but we want to just put one emphasis in verse number 21, and they all may be one. And with it, in verse 20, it's speaking about that those of the next generation. And with this, we're going to see together the prayer for the next generation. The prayer for the next generation. As the Lord Jesus Christ is praying, he's praying, of course, for the disciples. He's praying for himself as he's about ready to head to the cross in just a few short hours. But he also takes time to pray for those who will believe on him through the word of the disciples, meaning those of the next generation, those that will come after. And we, of course, have come after by believing on the word that has been sent to them from the generation before us and the generation before them and the generation before them, and that it has been carried out. And that even though we are many generations removed from this time, God still cares for us. And he still took time to pray for us. And the specific prayer that he was praying here is that we shall be one. Notice the oneness that the Lord Jesus Christ put an emphasis on in here. Notice in verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name, whom those have given me, that they may be one. Notice in verse 21. That they may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Here we can see Jesus Christ is praying for a oneness, a unity that we can have. How is it that we can have unity? Well, because of the word that the disciples will give, he is praying for the future disciples, those who come afterwards, the next generation, will also share in this oneness. Well, are his prayers being answered? Is there such a thing that we can have a unity, a oneness among his people? Absolutely, he can. He joins with all believers that we're not by ourselves. We're one with him as we follow the Savior. And that God desires for us to have a oneness, a unity. There's a wonderful thing when a local church, which is, by the way, by definition, a group of baptized believers who voluntarily gather themselves together for the purpose of accomplishing the Great Commission, that each individual local church should have a unity, a oneness. In fact, the theme of unity is the main purpose of the book of Ephesians, that the book of Ephesians is written so that Church of Ephesus could have a oneness, a unity. Now, it may sound strange, but you know that not every church has to be in World War III. Not every church has to be fighting and be against each other and be in a competition and trying to show that they're better than each other and all have different plans, different goals, scattering to different places. The goal and the desire for the Lord Jesus Christ, even as he's praying here, is that his people could be gathered together and assembled together in a unity, in a oneness. So if God wants us to have a oneness, a unity within his local church, what are the ways that we can have a unity even within our own local church? Well, I'm thankful that there's answers for that. First of all, we understand we can have a oneness because we have the same Savior. In fact, notice with me, if you don't mind, in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. The book of Ephesians, chapter 3, is a powerful passage. And the Apostle Paul is taking time to write to a church in Ephesus. If the purpose of a New Testament book is to show oneness, that implies that perhaps there's not a oneness. In fact, that's true in the book of Ephesus. In the city of Ephesus, you have a local church where the church is divided. You have on one side of the church Gentile believers, people who are not of Jewish faith, who came to know Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. Also within that same church, sitting on the other side, is a group of Jewish believers, people of a Hebrew descent who had accepted Jesus as their Messiah. Now, the problem was is that the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, had been taught all of their life that they were God's chosen people and that God had something special for them. They were also taught all of their life that the Gentiles in God's sight were nothing more than just dogs. And so the Hebrew people within the church could recognize that these people had come to know Christ as their Savior, and so there's something to that. But they could not get over the mindset that they were God's people, they were special, and the other Gentile believers were still something less than. Well, whenever you have two groups in a church where one thinks they're better than the other, and the other ones are like, why are they so upset at us? Why are they looking down their nose? What? There's not going to be a unity. So the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, takes time to write to the church of Ephesus in the book of Ephesians. And Ephesians chapter 3, he lays down a foundation of why we can have a oneness, a unity within a local church. If you don't mind, let me quickly just go through and place an emphasis. In the first couple verses, it says that God had something planned. It was a mystery. Remember, the word mystery in the Bible carries the idea of something that was hidden but is now revealed. He says, God had a plan from the very beginning called a local church. And that this was always God's plan. It wasn't a plan B. It wasn't a backup plan. But he just didn't tell the Jewish people about it because they didn't need to know about it. But now that the Gentiles are getting saved, God says, I've got a new plan. And that's the local church. And with the local church, there's something unique about it. Verse 5, Ephesians 3, 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now remember that this letter was sent to the church of Ephesus, and the pastor of the church would take this letter and say, the apostle Paul has written us a letter. Let's read it out loud. And so as he would read this out loud, and he would talk about that the Gentiles, who the rest of the church thought was nothing more than dogs who had gotten saved by God, said the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. What? And of the same body. Some Jewish lady just passed out. What do you mean that these dogs could be apart together? I mean, we're clean, we're God's people, and you've melded them together with us? What? Apostle Paul goes and explains. He says, whereof I've been made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship. There's an important word. The fellowship of the mystery. What is the mystery? It's the local church. What is the fellowship of the local church? Which is from the beginning of the world hid in God, who created in Christ all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent now that the principalities and powers and heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. You say, what's going on? What's going on is that all of us have different backgrounds. Without a doubt, we have different age brackets here. We have different cultural things. For example, I'm from Texas. Not everyone wants to hang out with people from Texas. Best country in the world. We understand that. But in addition, I'm not the same age as y'all. Some of you are older. Some of you are younger. That means that the way that we think, the way that we do things, our likes may be a little bit different. as I get older, I no longer want to do little kid things. Just part of, and some folks that are older than me that might not want to do my things. In addition, I'm a nerd. I like to study for fun. Most of you would not like to hang out with me on a daily basis. Pastor, I want to see what your day's like. All right, get a book. Let's go. Okay, never mind. That may not be your thing. We have different backgrounds. We have different way that we were raised, different cultural differences. We have all kinds of different things. And yet, what God did out of his infinite wisdom is that he allowed all of us to be able to be here in this local church for the same reason. Because Jesus Christ saved us. Because I was a sinner, every single one of us were sinners. And we all came to Jesus the same way, admitting that we were sinners and that Jesus was our only hope. And now we have a basis of fellowship together that we're all sinners in need of a Savior, and Jesus saved us. He was the one that did it. That we can have a unity because we have the same Savior. Now, verse number 10 is very important. To the intent now, so for the purpose now, unto the principalities and powers. Notice the people of address here is not church or earthlings or humans, but to the principalities and powers. The angels in heavenly places might be known by the church as a prepositional phrase. Let's just put that aside. That might be known the manifold wisdom of God. How? By the church. Do you know that every time we have a church meeting, the angels and principalities and powers up in heaven are looking down and saying, look at this. Come look at this. These were people at one time who shook their fist and said, God, I don't want you in my life. Leave me alone. People who sinned and rebellious. And yet somehow God saved us, forgave us of our sins, made us a new creature. And now we have assembled here together for the purpose of worshiping God. And the angels are going, only God could have done that. Only God could have put that collection of people together in the one place. You understand, when you're a part of a local church, you're part of something amazing, something big, something that makes the angels go, wow, only God could have done that. You know, we can have a unity within a church when we're looking together at our Savior and saying, that's how we got here. None of us are here because we were such great people, we didn't need a Savior. We're all here because we were all doomed sinners, with the only hope being the Lord Jesus Christ. And we came together for the purpose of saying, what a great Savior. He's the one that did it. I want to honor him. I want to worship him. He's it. When we get to the place that of we're all looking at Jesus together, there becomes a oneness, a unity within a local church. What is the secret? All eyes looking on him. All eyes staring at him, looking at him. How else is it that we can have a oneness within that local body to have that fellowship of the mystery? Well, notice with me back in the gospel record of John as the Lord Jesus Christ is praying. Notice in John 17, and in verse number 20, John 17 and verse 20, Jesus said, neither pray I these for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word. We share the same word of God. Why is it that the word of God brings unity? Because if our fellowship is based off of anything else, then we could all have something different. For example, if we were all depending on signs and wonders and dreams, and that we came together and said, hey, I had pepperoni pizza last night and I had an awesome dream and I think this is what God has me to do. Well, you may not have the same dream. Well, I heard a voice in the sky and I know that this is what God has me to do. Well, I heard this in my pancake. It smiled at me and I knew for sure that this is what I needed to do. Or I have a feeling and so I just feel that this is right. Well, all of those are subjective. And all of that points us in different directions. But we can have unity when we all say we're going to stand on the word of God. And whatever the word of God says, that's what we're going to do. We end up having a unity. We have a unity, a oneness within the church when we agree that we're going to stand on the Word of God. Not subjective, not feelings, not our thoughts, not our preferences. What does the Bible say? When we agree with that, we could have a oneness. I could remember Pastor Sexton telling a story that when he went up to Paterson, New Jersey, in the heart of New York, that when he went up there to go pastor, they had been without a pastor for, I think, like 5 years. So they had been without a pastor. They were hurting. But whenever you're without a pastor that long, that people begin to fill in the leadership spots. And if they're not grounded in the Word of God, they could have their own ideas. And he says it was a mess. And so he went in there and he was just trying to get people to look to the Lord and point him to the Lord and trying to preach and try to be an encouragement. And finally, the people had enough of it and they had a meeting and they called him to a meeting. That's always a bad sign when a pastor is called to a meeting of a church that he didn't know about. And so they put him in the center of the room. They had all the people lined up and they had him there and they began to challenge him. And what about this? And what about this? And we don't like the way you do this. And Pastor Sexton, being a young preacher, said he didn't know what else to do, but he took his Bible, he put it on the ground, and he knelt on it. And he said, I don't know about all of this, but I just say, let's just stand on the Word of God together. And let's just agree together that whatever the Bible says, that's what we're going to do. And he says it was almost like the woman taken in the act of adultery when Jesus started drawing on the sand, is that they all started hanging their heads and started just filing out one by one silently till he was left all by himself. By the way, the church did develop a oneness as they agreed together that they were going to stand on the Word of God. That we can't go with our favorite internet preacher and what this guy said and what this, we're just going to agree to on the Word of God. If the Bible says it, that's what we're going to do. And there develops a oneness. God desires a oneness among his people. So how can we have a oneness together? We have a oneness because of our Savior. Jesus, the one that saved us. We all have that common ground. We have a oneness when we agree together to the Word of God. Whatever the Bible says, that's what we're going to agree on. We are going to stand together on the Word of God, and that we'll be able to deal with the other differences and preferences and everything. We're just going to just stand on the Word of God together. And we can have a oneness with that. How else is it that we can have a oneness? We could have a oneness through the same Spirit of God. The same Spirit of God. Notice with me, if you don't mind, going back to Ephesians. Again, I told you that book of Ephesians is written for the purpose of putting unity in the church. Ephesians chapter number 2. So the chapter before we read about the fellowship of the mystery, the Apostle Paul is starting to prepare the church for oneness and is explaining that we can have the same Spirit of God. The same Spirit of God. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse 8. Ephesians 2, 8. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man shall boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let me pause. God did something special with us when we realized that we were a sinner, and because of our sin, we've offended a holy, righteous God, that we realized that Jesus died for us, and we personally accepted Christ as our Savior. When we did that, the Holy Spirit, who is God, came to live inside of us. By the way, the same Holy Spirit who lives inside of me lives inside of you. Amen. And if the same Holy Spirit lives inside of me, lives inside of you, does the Holy Spirit disagree with itself? Does the Holy Spirit hate itself? Doesn't he like himself and want to have the same purpose? And so we now, starting the building a foundation, we all have the same Spirit of God within us. Notice as it goes on in verse 11, verse 10, may I remind you that you are his workmanship. God's trying to create all of us individually into his work. Created unto good works. God wants to do something with us. Verse 11, wherefore remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called the uncircumcision by that which is the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at this time ye were without Christ, or at that time, being aliens of the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. So it's talking before we were saved, we had no hope. We were aliens. We're not part of God's promises. We were the neighbor's kids. Verse 13, but now, remember studying these great theological buts, that means the opposite of. We were separated, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off, made nigh or close by the blood of Jesus Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made us both one and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. Meaning we now can have fellowship between God and us and each other because of the Holy Spirit living within us. Having established his flesh in the enmity, even the law of commandments that contain the ordinances, for to make in himself twain one new man, so making peace, that he may reconcile, that means bringing two parties together in agreement, both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you that were afar off and to them that were made nigh. For through him both we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Isn't that wonderful that the Holy Spirit who lives within us allows us to have communion with the Father? And as I have communion with the Father and looking towards him, and you have communion looking to the Father, looking towards him, the Spirit is going to give us a unity because we're looking in the same place, having the same goal, having the same direction. It's one of the reasons why we stayed in this church over and over. It all begins with God. It all ends with God. God is the goal. If we all have God as the goal, we all have the same direction, the same speed, going to the same thing, we're going to have unity. We're going to move forward together. Not going against each other, not bumping into each other, but moving forward together, going to the same spot. That's how we have a unity by the Spirit directing us and guarding us and protecting us. Isn't it wonderful? We can have a unity within a church. How can we have unity in the church? First of all, because we all have the same Savior. We all came to Jesus the same way. By the shed blood of Jesus, not by our own merits or own works. Jesus Christ who did it. We can have the same unity by the word of God. That is, we agree on the word of God and trust God's word and say, we're just going to do what the Bible said, not our thoughts, not our opinions, not our preferences. What does the Bible say? We're going to have unity. We could agree together on the same thing. We don't have to fight. We all have a basis that we could agree on. How can we have unity within a local church, have fellowship of the mystery? By having the same Spirit, that the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. He also lives inside of me because we both accepted Jesus Christ. And as we determine that we're going to follow God and have fellowship with him, as I follow God and you follow God, we're going to have unity by going the same direction, moving together, looking unto Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? The Bible also mentions that we also can have unity because we have the same glory. We're going to the same place. Amen. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we're going to the same place. Now, remember, the judgment seat, we're running our own race against ourselves, our own opportunities and our own abilities. I'm not running a race against you, so you're not my competition. Amen. Isn't that great? We're going to God and going to heaven. Why am I going to heaven? Not because of anything I've done, but because of what Christ has done for me. We're going to the same place. We might as well get along now because heaven's a long, eternity is a long time. Might as well learn to get along now. That we're going to the same place. We're not in competition with each other. It's not an idea that if I live a better Christian life, I could push you off and you're not going to make the cut. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. We're all going to the same place. And we're going to sing and worship God and labor for him in the millennial kingdom and in heaven. By the way, guess what you're going to do in heaven? Work. Might as well get used to that now. That's not going away. We're going to labor and serve him, and it's going to be good work. And we're going to serve him together because we're going to the same place. When we have these four things in concert, in harmony with each other, that we all have the same basis of salvation, we have the same word of God that we could build our faith upon. When we have the same Spirit to help us to look at God and to follow after him, and realizing we have the same goal. The goal is God and the same destination, which is heaven and God and being with him. We can have a unity Oh, what a wonderful thing it is for God's people to dwell in unity. We all know that that's not true. One of the biggest things I get as people are looking for churches is that this church didn't have unity and this church didn't have unity and they had fights. Some of us came from churches where it was World War II and fighting, and it's miserable. And that shouldn't be said among God's people. Quite simply, it's not about us. It's about the Lord. And as we agree together to keep our eyes on Him, to stand on God's word together, whatever the Bible says, that's what we're going to do. We too can enjoy unity together with God's people. It doesn't mean that we're cookie cutter Christians, that we all have to look the same and smell the same and be shaped the same, think the same. You know, there's a wonderful thing about harmony. Wonderful thing about being in harmony. We are very soon, we're going to have on Wednesday nights our mini orchestra play. And the one thing about our mini orchestra is that they're going to play different instruments. So by default, they don't play the same notes. But as they play together, they'll be in harmony. Isn't that wonderful? That's true of us, that we don't have to be on the same note. We just have to be looking at the conductor and playing our part. Amen. And we can be in harmony together. Isn't that wonderful? That means that we could be unique and different in Christ, looking and following after Him. Amen. As long as we have the basis together that Jesus is our salvation, we all came to Christ the same way, that not of our sins, but a great Savior. Not of our works, but the finished work of Jesus Christ. We can have a unity when we all agree that whatever the Bible says, that's what we're going to agree with. We're just going to stand on God's word together. We can have a unity because of God's Spirit, that as we're looking to God and trying to follow after Him, we could go the same direction. We can have a unity when we say we're going to the same place. We might as well enjoy the journey and enjoy each other. We're just going to go the same place, have the same goal in mind. We're going to move forward to Christ, that we can have unity. Now, one of the things I do love about the Riverview Baptist Church is that we do have unity. We're not at war worth. We don't have the pews set up where we have the blue carpet crowd over here and the red carpet crowd here, and they're fighting with each other. It's amazing to hear what people have fought over. There was a church that fought over a pickle once and had a church split over a stupid pickle. Now, sure, there was something else going on, but that was the argument that broke the back. Isn't it silly? What people will fight for, it's not Bible or doctrine. They just get to the place where they're looking at themselves and not looking at God. Amen. Fixing a church's unity is quite easy, but yet quite hard. Quite easy by the answers being, let's look at Jesus together. Quite hard, because that means we die to self. Die to what we want, die to our things, die to what we think, die to our dreams. And let's just choose God's stream, God's path, God's desires. When we do that, we can have a unity. Now for us, what do we do with this? Let's strive to have more unity. Let's strive even more to keep following after Christ. Let's determine together we're going to stand on the word of God. And whatever the Bible says, that's what we're going to do. And that we'll just follow God together and enjoy the wonderful peace and unity that God provides, and continue to pray that God protects the unity. As more and more people come in, we're just going to teach them the same thing. Let's stand on the word of God, and let's look to Christ, and let's follow after Him and join our ranks, and let's move forward together in harmony together, looking unto our wonderful Savior. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And I thank you for you praying for us, even all those years ago, and even now, praying that we would have a oneness with you and a oneness with each other as we follow after you. Lord, that you would protect this wonderful church, protect our unity, protect us, to keep us on looking to you, standing on your word, and letting you be the God, the head of this church. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time
to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.